Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. It's time for Desert Oracle Radio Replay, and I'm Roxana, and I have been this summer traveling all around Montana, visiting ghost towns, learning about UFOs in Montana, bumblebees and fossils near Eckalaka, celebrating pictographs at Bear Gulch, and meeting fantastic people all along the way, some of whom I intend to bring on to the future shows for you. I've also been lucky to have some visiting with family members, and in fact, some family members are actually coming in this weekend, so I am recording this ahead of time for you, and I hope you enjoy it. Hope you're having a good summer, too. Well, all that traveling kind of ties in with a little bit with this first Desert Oracle radio episode we have. It was produced by Ken Lane on July 16th, 2021. A very jolly audience responds to Ken's musings on having recently come out of the pandemic isolation, as well as chihuahuas and the local marine base, allergies, and Airbnbs. Maybe you can relate. Well, here is 29 palms, $12, and change.
July, And I said, look, beyond the obvious, and the obvious for him is he done his last Chihuahua. He had two or three over 40, 45 years. He done it to run into the corner and stand up on his head. And he'd give it a little bite of rolled taco. But I asked him, I said, Don, why do you keep those awful dogs? And he said, well, Ken, I keep them because they don't give one damn if it's 120 degrees outside. But sure enough, they don't. It can be 110, 120, and the Chihuahuas are weirdly active. They don't care, you know? It was in the late 1700s when the dog breeding people first noticed the Chihuahua in the state of Chihuahua in Mexico. They saw them running out among the cactus and the yucca. No, they're not neighbors. They have only 4% of their original DNA. Their DNA from the dog set came mostly across the land bridge, the Bering land bridge. They may have come over in boats as well. But by the time we reach the point in history where we've got a catastrophic climate change, but we can all get DNA tests on our dogs, which is now, it was discovered that over the centuries since European contact, contact's a nice word, that they lost 96% of their original DNA, but they kept their meanness. They kept their size. They kept their longevity. So welcome to 29 Palms. 29 Palms is a long-term U.S. government science experiment. For 50 years now, we've been taking young hillbilly kids from like upstate New York or the Ohio Valley or wherever, and we put them out on this make-believe war base out north of here just to see what happens. Put them out here in July, just in case. I think we're out of countries to use that environment on right now, but it's still here. It's an important part of our economy. It's why a lot of people settled here. It's why a lot of people fell in love with the desert. It usually happens like in December. And this time of year, people coming around who haven't been here, what do you think? This is different. People seem to have a lot of cars on their property. Which is unfair to the desert, because in the desert all is laid bare, all is revealed. We don't have ground cover. We don't have trees. We don't have things to hide the 14 cars per resident. 13 of them haven't run this century. But some people fall for it. Some people decide this is for me. And it turns out a lot of the things that you worry about when you come to the desert, the dramatic stuff, is not really the stuff you have to worry about. Now and then a tourist disappears. Now and then an innocent two-year-old child is pulled from the side of the campfire and beheaded and eaten by yucca man. But these are outliers. For the most part, the things we have to remember are, oh, go get your moles checked. Desert residents know this. I've been to dinner parties where respectable people go into deep half-hour medically explicit conversations about getting the moles removed. So you gotta get that checked. And all the dermatologists are plastic surgeons too, if you have the money. So yeah, no skin cancer this time, but the sun's kind of done a number on you, hasn't it? I can fix that if you got the money or the credit. Palm Springs is full of them. A lot of us also end up seeing allergists. Now, I lived in this area for about a dozen years before I realized, I think there's something in the 80 mile an hour constant winds full of toxins and dust. Just not working all right with me in my middle age. So I go see the allergist and they test you. You know, they poison you with all these different things. And it turns out I'm allergic to everything in the desert. Western juniper? Yeah, that welt took 2 weeks to go away. Russian thistle? What some people foolishly call tumbleweed? Yeah, not good for you. But in a way, it's better than the normal doctors you have, say, in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, the normal doctor is a therapist. A therapist is a special kind of doctor that can help you in any way if you get hurt or sick. Now, maybe they could call 911 if you're choking on a breath mint or something. And maybe when the cop shows up, he'll just shoot your chihuahua. It could work out. The way things are out here, with the topography especially, you tend to be able to see everything that's on somebody's 5-acre parcel from about a half mile away. You can count all the cars. The cargo containers. The old school bus. And then one day it's all gone. Because the Airbnb real estate speculator got here. No, Mr. Tommy's gone. They haul off his 14 cars. They haul up the school bus, the storage containers. They throw a coat of paint on the cabin. They sweep out the larger black widows and scorpions. And then, you've noticed this if you live out here or visit. Then they take two pieces of corrugated tin and they tack them up vertically on either side of the driveway, like on some 2x4s and some ready-mix. And now it's no longer Mr. Timmy's, where now it's an Airbnb called Ragweed Manor. $300 a night. Last we heard from Mr. Timmy, he was at Kingman, Arizona. He wanted to go to Bullhead City, but he got priced out. So it's one of the things we're dealing with in this place. It's nice to have an economy for once, other than the Marine base. But it'd be nice to have an economy where the people who've been here for a long time can stay, too. So it's not quite figured out yet. It kind of goes from town to town. Yucca Valley has a vacation rental ordinance. San Bernardino County is a funny thing about San Bernardino County. San Bernardino County had never heard of the Morongo Basin until about 2018, when one of the county supervisors, before he went to prison, because that's what happens with all of them, and his stepdaughter said, "Hey, I saw on Instagram that there's all these cool places up there. We got to go up there and check that place out." So we're starting to get some regulations in that department. But when the fad goes, and the fad will go, I think another 5 or 6 of these heat domes should do it. People start thinking of the high desert like they thought of Newark in 1969. A place of strife and weirdness. But we like it weird. We like the strife in small doses. And we get used to things. We get used to putting on oven mitts before we go out to open the car door. To shake out the centipedes first, you know. We learned to hydrate. It took me until about 45 until somebody said, "You know, hydrating doesn't mean 9 years." And yet, a lot of old-time desert explorers will tell you, when you drove around any sparsely populated desert place, you always kept a big ice chest of cold beer floating in that 5-pound bag of ice you got way back. And that way, when you're going by some miner's cabin and you see the black flap kind of lift up over the window and one beady eye and the barrel of a shotgun, you say, "Howdy, neighbor, how about a cold beer?" That has diffused more desert situations for four-wheel drive and backcountry travelers and probably anything else. And there's still a few of them out there. Not quite like it was, say, in East Mojave National Scenic Area in the 1980s, when there were still a number of artists and oddballs and stuff living within what we now call Mojave National Preserve. They're all gone now. Most of them supported it becoming Mojave National Preserve. Some neighbors I had in Joshua Tree were instrumental in getting the Mojave, Eastern Mojave National Scenic Area converted into a part of the National Park System. The Hughes and the woman did not want to move to the desert unless she was allowed to grow some pine trees to remind her of nicer climates. So around their acre in Joshua Tree, about a quarter of it was a little pine tree forest. But she and her husband went to Washington in the mid-1990s and sort of sealed the deal to turn this place that was public land already, so nobody losing any land or anything, from Bureau of Land Management control to National Park System. Congressman down in Palm Springs decided we should still be able to hunt deer there 2 weeks a year, so it's called Mojave National Preserve instead of park. If you've wondered why one unit of the National Park System is called Preserve, thank you, Representative Jerry Lewis of the Low Desert. Our local land conservancy just announced they completed 100,000 acres of protected Mojave Desert. And God bless them for that, because they started the year I moved to this area, 2009, to get 100,000 acres. Now, mind you, each acre wasn't separate. A lot of them were hundreds, a few were thousands. But there were lots of little inholdings in Joshua Tree Park. Not that anybody was out there, it's just they fell through the cracks over the years. So it takes a lot of work to find the heirs to, 4 acres with no water and no road in, to a little place up in the mountains of our one-time national monument, and now our Joshua Tree National Park. So remember your oven mitts in the daytime. Remember to hydrate, not all beer. Don't go out in the sun between approximately March and October, and you'll be real fine.
Flash floods in the desert. Urban flooding from northern Europe to the Great Lakes to northern China. Half the USA under wildfire smoke from the Pacific Northwest. We got heat domes, we got mega droughts, we got Delta variants, about a dozen countries in the process of something like revolution or collapse. Myanmar, South Africa, Cuba. Africa cannot get vaccines, and America cannot seem to give them away. To Americans, anyway. It's back to the mask in LA County. $30 or $40 or $50 million kids in America still wondering if they will go back to school in the fall. Or if it's another year of solitary confinement. And this is why we should only read the news maybe once a week or maybe once a month. It's too much all the time, and 99% of it is completely beyond our control, my control, your control, beyond our experience, our abilities to correct. Because no matter what's going on in Miami or Munich, Singapore, Sydney, you and I remain where we are now. And nobody seems to want to give us a pass or a mental health day or whatever because it's all too much. Maybe the Zoomers, the teens, have it the best right now. I don't know. They look pretty smart today, ordering pizzas and playing video games and kind of waiting for the older generations to just go away, one way or another. Send them to space, put them in the ground, whatever it takes. I was talking to this teenager the other day and said something about Olivia Rodrigo managing to visit the White House without the guy sticking his tongue in her ear or whatever, and the teenager says, neither of those people are even real. What's real and what's close in our desert right now are these near daily major flash floods. You see that one in Zion National Park? How about Flagstaff? Where I intended to be this weekend, but it's a federal disaster zone and I don't want to get in the way. I just wanted to go to some restaurants and walk in the forest. Now, Flagstaff gets heavy monsoon rains that whole Colorado Plateau. Sometimes you see them hundreds of miles around. Great thunderstorms like tall masted ships moving over the high desert. sometimes two or three or four big thunderstorms in view. Even though it would take you a whole day to drive between them, Navajo country, Hopi country, Ute country, the national parks of southern Utah, and the Grand Canyon get their biggest crowds this time of summer, just as the wildest weather rolls in. I always think of Flagstaff as a small town, I guess because compared to Phoenix, it's a small town, but there are nearly 140,000 souls living in and around Flagstaff today. So it's nearly three times bigger than the entire population of the Morongo Basin, including Yucca Valley, Joshua Tree, 29 Palms, and all of our exclusive residential communities such as Landers and Wonder Valley. Flagstaff is generally so pleasant in these desert summer months because the whole town's up around 7,000 feet in elevation, with the nearly 13,000 foot peaks of the Kachina Wilderness wrapped around from the north side. A lot of those old buildings downtown are made of the local red sandstone, too. It's all like a dream in Vista Vision. The Sinagua held this territory for about 1,000 years until 1425 or so. Nobody knows what they really called themselves. Sinagua is just Spanish for without water. Yet there's plenty up there today. To Zizek's and across the Great Mojave Wilderness, this has been Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting from Joshua Tree to the whole American desert and beyond. Thanks to everybody who made their way to 29 Palms for our sold-out shows at Theater 29. Boy, that was fun. We'll have some new dates to announce soon all over the place. I think we're starting the tour in Illinois. No kidding. And pick up a copy of Palm Springs Noir if you can, because it's got a lot of dark, strange desert tales of humans gone wrong. And I've got a story in there called The Loop Trail. You can get the book from Akashic Books. Check your local bookstores. Thanks to Red, Blue, Black, Silver and Herb Benham IV for the live and recorded soundscapes. Thanks to our friends who support the program and share it with their friends. I'm your host, Ken Lane. You know, I try to ignore reviews because you've got to do your work the best you can, and you can't worry too much after the fact. But somebody reviewed this show on Apple Podcasts and said, quote, could be good, except for the style and the sound and the ravens and all that. Well, buddy, how'd you end up listening to something that's so against your podcast morals? So if you like this show, why don't you leave a review? Might as well get some reviews from people who like it, right? Hey, listen, the flash flood stuff is serious. If you see water and debris and stuff moving across the road in front of your car or truck, don't try to be Spider-Man or whatever and get across it. Go another way or wait for the water to go down until you can see the pavement again. Be good to yourselves and your fellow creatures. It's a good time to put out some fresh water for the wildlife, for the birds. And good night from the voice of the desert.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGVM Bozeman Community Radio at 95.9 FM and streaming online at kgvm.org. Our second Desert Oracle Radio episode today came from Ken Lane just a couple of days ago, July 11th, 2025. Here is his travel tale called Highway 247 Revisited.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert on this blessed summer night, shelter from the solar storm. If you're traveling around or across the Mojave Desert tonight or any time lately, maybe you've driven on Highway 247. One of the rare highways you can travel from one end to the other in a couple of scenic hours. The road begins or ends, depending on your point of view and local allegiances, in the historic Route 66 and railroad town of Barstow, California. Chicago, St. Louis, Joplin, Oklahoma City, Amarillo, Gallup, Flagstaff. Don't forget Winona, Kingman, Arizona, Barstow, and San Bernardino, California. Those are the towns named in Bobby Troup's 1946 song, Get Your Kicks on Route 66. It was a big hit for Nat King Cole, then a bigger hit for Bing Crosby with the Andrews Sisters. And then it was a standard, covered by everybody from jazz cats to hillbilly cats, and especially the rock and rollers. Chuck Berry did his version for 1961's New Jukebox Hits, and that's how the Rolling Stones learned it. Or maybe they learned it from a Perry Como version owned by the legendary Nacker Felch. Whatever the story, I always liked the Rolling Stones version from their debut record, recorded and released in the early months of 1964. Well, that was before I was born, but I bought the album 2 decades later when I was a teenager with a pickup and a strong desire to see every town where you could get your kicks on Route 66, and really every Western town mentioned by any singer in any song. From any time. Tucson to Tucumcari, Tehachapi to Tonopah, El Paso City by the Rio Grande, San Francisco, Portland, Oregon, Boulder, Colorado, Winnemucca, Nevada, Walla Walla, Washington, Santa Fe and Silver City, Winslow, Arizona. While Barstow is not everybody's all-time favorite destination in the Mojave, it's often the most necessary one. You need gas for the car, coffee for the brain, and the classic Del Taco on Mountain View, kept by the original owners in the glory days condition of 1970s fast food luxury. They've even got table service. Well, you order at the counter, but then you take a number to your table and somebody brings it out, and it's about 5 times better than the usual Del Tacos, which I'll still never turn down on a road trip. Well, that's the only thing there. But at the Barstow locations, I think there's 3 in all, including the one by the outlet shops and the truck stops. They've got a couple of special items, but mostly it's the classic menu. Everything done right. Same people have worked there for many years. Seems like a lively and pleasant workplace compared to the dreary sadness of 2-employee fast food joints at most other roadside stops. Except for the In-N-Out burger places, it's crazy what happens when you sell food people want to eat, and the price is reasonable, and the employees are all barely paid, upstanding citizens with those crisp white uniform shirts and paper caps. People will line up for that again and again at the register and in the drive-thru. But if you're wondering, there is an In-N-Out by the Outlet Mall. By the Outlet Mall Del Taco, Lakewood exit off the 15 just southwest of our endpoint if you're taking State Highway 247 north out of Yucca Valley, north from Joshua Tree National Park. Get your stuff, we're ready to go. You know, people will come to the Mojave on purpose in summertime and then ask me for advice on what to do and where to go. And I always say, well, the sane options would be an alpine lake up in the High Sierra, or maybe Encinitas down by San Diego, where it's cool and foggy for half the day and you can go outside without bursting into flames. But they don't listen. A couple of summers ago, a guy died in Death Valley just from riding his motorcycle outside. Overheated. The 120-degree heat is no less lethal just because it's blowing all over you at cruising speed. He just dehydrated and died.
Desert Oracle Radio.
If you know the 247 on the Yucca Valley end, you likely know it as Old Woman Springs Road, which is named for an interesting place. The Old Woman Springs Ranch, exactly 30 miles northwest from the 247's beginning point at 29 Palms Highway, the 62, and Joshua Lane, which goes another 5 miles south to end at Black Rock Canyon Campground. But there's a lot on the way from point A to point B. If you need gasoline or nicotine or any other such road fuel, you can find it within a block or so of the Highway 62 and 247 junction. May not be your first choice, or third choice even. And you might wonder how such conditions can persist in a town of 20,000 with 3 million annual visitors coming through. But such are the mysteries of the desert. So orient yourself to the Great North Star or the letter N on your car's digital compass, if it's got one. And let's get out of Yucca Valley before it's too late. Note the small plane airport on the right with the popular copper room overlooking the runway and the always sketchy convenience store immediately to the left, illuminated by the large red letter that comes after J. You're now going up the grade, one of a half dozen long ones on this drive, but not one of the especially treacherous grades with hairpin curves. Those come later. Enjoy the urban forest of Joshua Trees to the left and jot down the for sale number if you'd like to mow them all down for yet another gas station, car wash, convenience store. Now watch out for the beaters doing 35 coming up the hill. They mostly turn off at Paxton just ahead. And anyway, there's a passing lane just past that, which on this road seems to be the right lane. Only the truckers hauling onions and garlic up from the Imperial Valley seem to have learned that the left lane is for passing. No matter, it's all over in a few miles. And our version of heavy traffic would be laughed at in Los Angeles. You'll see a couple of interesting houses built high up in the rocks on either side of traffic winding through here, and then some industrial shops, a warehouse church or two, and the old garbage truck lot at the last stoplight you'll see for a while at Skyline and Buena Vista Drive. Buena Vista means Walt Disney in Spanish. Isn't that something? Before long, you're headed down the wide mouth of Pipes Canyon, and you want to watch your speed because this grade is steeper than it looks. You can easily find yourself rolling too fast. Too fast for the law, anyway. And every now and then, there's a chippy hiding at the bottom. Pipes Canyon is probably the prettiest landscape for miles around here, like an old cowboy movie. In Vista Vision, which means view vision, but doesn't sound as good. And doesn't really describe the wide vista view you get when coming or going from Pipes Canyon. Too bad there's no time to turn off today. Then the road straightens out, the 247, I mean, and here's where it really has some of that old high desert feel. You start feeling like you're in the backcountry, and you almost are. The Joshua trees are dense, and the infamous Lander's Fault is right by your side, on the east side of the road. On June 28th of 1992, as the presidential campaign was heating up between George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot, and the first Gulf War had already been nearly forgotten, but not by the Marines out here who fought it. A massive tremor struck this part of the high desert, the 7.3 magnitude Lander's Quake. The road you're riding on was buckled and broken in a dozen places between here and Lander's, which stretches out on your right now, looking northeast. But the inklings of a town you see just ahead is actually Flamingo Heights, a small community named after its founder, Eleanor Flamingo, that might be a good stop if you're hungry. The famous La Copine restaurant is here on your left, going strong for 10 years now, along with the less famous but tasty Hero Market restaurant and deli inside a gas station convenience store. A Dollar General and a couple of pizza places, too. Basically, all the big city amenities you'll find in Joshua Tree. And pretty much the last of anything you'll see in the way of civilization for a while. If you've got business in Lander's, you'll probably want to turn right at Retchie Road. The Morongo Basin Historical Museum is out that way, 3 miles due east, open Fridays and Saturdays, 11 to 4. Now there's a long, easy curve, first this way and then that way, as you go round the Calvary Chapel with its highway sign proclaiming God is number one. Well, he better be. I hope you're right. If you're going to paint a sign and everything. I don't like thinking about what might outrank God. The ancient Greeks really did not like to think about it either. Zeus comes from Proto-Indo-European Dius. No one knows how it's really pronounced, but something like that. That's the basic word for God in most European languages, Anatolian and Indian languages too. Well, that's the god most Greeks and later the Romans meant, unless they specified another god or goddess, often the literal offspring of Father Zeus, Deus Vater in the reconstructed Proto-Indo-European, Father Daylight. Because that's what the ancient word meant, daylight and sky and God the Father, all in one. But who created God? Hesiod says it was the Titans, Mother Rhea, and Father Kronos. Kronos was not a model parent. He ate all of his children, except the one Rhea hid away on Crete, the infant Zeus. So Zeus, like King Minos and even the Philistines of Canaan, was a Cretan. Just don't say it to his face. The Titans, 12 of them, again according to Hesiod's beautiful poem, Works and Days, were themselves born to Gaia, Mother Earth, and Ouranos, Father Sky, the primordial gods of Earth. And all this comes from something that sounds like the creation of the universe out of darkness and chaos. That's where the word comes from, chaos, the chasm from which everything emerged, the god chaos. The Gnostics have their own dozen versions of this, but much worse, much gloomier, horrible to contemplate. Besides, being on a road trip is no time to start questioning the rank of the gods. Wondering if there's a blind creator god deceived by the... I don't even want to say it. I don't want to plant such a seed in your mind. Whichever god you call out to when an oncoming semi-truck has suddenly drifted into your lane, that's your number one. You know the name. Look up the number. The landscape around you now becomes more barren, noticeably warmer, and this time of year, scraggly creosote bushes blowing in the hot breeze. Their deep green leaves, thick and waxy, in defense against the brutal sun. The row of mountains you see to your left, filling the view to the left, those are the San Bernardinos. And straight ahead, if you know where you're going, is the Rodman Mountains Wilderness area. Nice place to visit, maybe in December or January. And to your right, coming up at the 16-mile mark, if you activated your trip odometer, is a stand of granite boulders covered in generations of generally hideous spray paint graffiti. When those pop-up raves were a thing a while ago, they'd often set up right there, next to the highway and the rocks and the garbage and graffiti. Still, there are a couple of interesting larger paintings here, best observed at 55 miles per hour. We are thankful the spray paint graffiti on the boulders problem is mostly limited to these crude landmarks. Better here than everywhere else. And just a week or so back, a man was found dead here. In the Johnson Valley Painted Rocks, as they're known, just off the highway, and apparently dead by his own hand. As our Z1077 news desk reported on June 19, Mark Kammerlohr of Orange, California, aged 52, ended his life here, God rest his soul. A second body was found there only a month earlier in May. Well, I looked up Mark, and apparently he was a life coach. I'd call somebody else, honestly. Somebody who is not a life coach, I mean. When I'm down, I'll call somebody and say, let's go for a drive. And if they can't go because it's midnight on a Monday, well, I just go by myself. I prefer to drive by myself most of the time. Driving alone at night between here and there, who knows where. But let me say something to the other night owls out there, the night riders and space truckers or the peak baggers thinking they'll make some easy nighttime miles before the sun comes up. Right now and throughout this summer into the early fall of the year 20 and 25, Caltrans is working on the highway, laying down the blacktop, currently from Sunday night through Thursday night at different sections between Yucca Valley and Lucerne Valley, but mostly down here on this side. So take a look at your phone map before you drive all night. It might show the lane closures. If you do have a lane closure ahead, you're going to sit there waiting for the pilot car. Maybe it's 50-50. But if you do wait, well, maybe it's 20 minutes. That's the maximum. So who cares? Go anyway if you're going that way. Just know about it. Let's consult the press release from Caltrans. This is a $22 million pavement rehabilitation and shoulder widening project along State Route 247, SR 247, in the Morongo Basin. Funded by Senate Bill 1, SB 1, the Road Repair and Accountability Act of 2017, this project aims to improve safety, pavement life, and access for all users, including motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians. And what about the coyotes? Construction is underway between the State Route 62 Junction and Jen Road near Yucca Valley. Motorists will notice construction signs, high visibility fencing for environmental protection, and active clearing operations in shoulder areas. Caltrans expects to complete the project in fall 2025. Well, that's good. That road has been showing its wear for a long time, especially between Johnson Valley and the Morongo Basin. And every time it rains, which is a couple times a year, if we're lucky, another chunk of old asphalt highway crumbles down the wash. Highway 247 was originally planned as a divided freeway, a major part of California's roadway system. But for various reasons, including not nearly enough people living out here to justify such a thing, it wound up being a two-lane, except for that passing lane coming up the grade out of Yucca. So it remains one of the only SoCal straightaways once the road turns west towards Lucerne Valley, where you can do heroic amounts of passing semi-trucks and slow-going campers towing dune buggies and all that. Just use your brain and your eyes, and if you have any doubt at all, then you are not in a position to put yourself and others at risk of a horrific, blood-soaked pileup. Take it easy, relax, pull over and use nature's urinal behind that wispy creosote, whipped around by the ceaseless desert wind. And please, please, don't step on the rattlesnakes. When the highway opened back in 1959, it was called State Route 26. But a half dozen years later, it became State Route 247. And that's how it is 60 years later. You can contemplate the significance as you ponder the wide, flat expanses of the Johnson Valley OHV area. More than 100,000 acres in all. Although the Marine Corps is always trying to chomp away a little more of the Mojave for their base. This is where King of the Hammers happens, if you've never been but always wondered. It's like monster trucks, gladiatorial games, just crazy scenes. But if you're driving on a quiet day, and most days out there are quiet, then this is prime driving country. You and the road and the great wide world around. This part of the drive requires either silent contemplation, a highly charged conversation, or the playing of special music. What are those strange water towers out there? And who lives out there in the few scattered homesteads miles off the pavement? And as you approach the scattered desert town of Lucerne Valley, why are the wooded mountains far to your south crisscrossed with white lines, deep scars? Well, that's a Mitsubishi concrete factory. Sure, it's ugly, is so ugly, there's a literal monster that prowls the devastated mountainside by night. The cement factory monster. But the road you're driving comes from somewhere, right? Ideas, plans, engineers, money, contractors. And most of all, the rock and sand and gravel and oil that adds up to mile after mile of smooth desert highway. Make sure to slow down as you roll into town. People live here in slightly more concentrated numbers than in the wasteland all around, our blessed Mojave wasteland. May it ever be so. There are schools here, a few small shops, the firehouse, the community center, and then there you are at the crossroads, downtown Lucerne Valley. Cafe 247 is right there. If your gullet's feeling a little parched, bar and grill, nostalgic road signs galore. But then it's back in the truck and left out of the parking lot. The last long segment once you're past the elementary school. Now you're Barstow bound, up and down a mountain through grand vistas of Mojave Yucca and Black Rock outcroppings. Through another popular OHV area with its own camp town and weekend restaurant bar. And watch out you don't drive into the Barstow landfill. Do watch those curves. And watch your speed on those curves. And suddenly, you're back in what we tolerate as civilization here in America's hottest and driest desert. Circle K on the right, big churches on the left. The National Park Service and Bureau of Land Management. And soon it's apartment buildings and plaster cottages and the great chasm of Interstate 15 cutting through the middle. Oh, and now you're back. With all the worries and Amazon Prime trucks of the workaday world. But you can visit the Route 66 Museum if you like, and if you've got an hour, it's worth it to visit the Harvey House, the grand old train station. For Barstow was on the Union Pacific long before it was on Route 66 and Interstate 15. That's what it is, a station town, a waypoint. Try the Barstow Bun Taco, no kidding. From Amboy to Zizek's and across the great Mojave Wilderness, this has been episode 247 of Desert Oracle Radio, supported by listeners like you at DesertOracle.com. Soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Visit him on Bandcamp. And good night from the voice of the desert.
In mind that first episode today was a classic, so any events Ken mentioned are long in the past, and that new episode has me thinking about Montana highways that stay within the state. There is a state highway number 1 and number 200. Do you know of more? Take a little road trip and tell me about it. You can give me a call or leave me a text to let me know about your road trip story or anything else, and the number is 406-404-6246. My thanks to Ken Lane and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thank you for listening and supporting KGBM. This program is broadcast on the air at 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio, and it streams online at kgbm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgbm.org website. I'll be back next week with more desert and mountain lore for you. Till then, keep doing good things, stay well, and sweet dreams. Stay vigilant. I just had nearly a close encounter with a mama moose and her calf. And I've been seeing deer and their fawns. They are out and about, so please be careful on the roads. And be careful when you're hiking, too. I'll see you next week.